I'm Natalie.
And I'm Paul. Welcome to God Hates Fangs True Blood podcast.
This week we will be discussing True Blood Season 4 finale and When I Die.
Yes, folks, we now have to wait until June 2012 for our next fix. But fear not.
Fear not, we plan to do a bunch of podcasts during the break between seasons. So next week we'll have the best and worst of Season 4. So send us your suggestions for that.
Then we have the second comics podcast.
And we're also going to rewatch seasons 1 and 2, aren't we?
We are, yes. And we're going to do a podcast over each season.
Yeah, season 1 podcast and a season 2 podcast. Not one for each episode, because that's just too much.
As we was a bit late to the podcasting, we started on season 3.
Yeah.
So we feel that we should do 1 and 2.
Yeah, just in light of what's happened in season 3 and 4, we should go over season 1 and 2. Also, at some point, we'll also do a podcast on the Sookie Stackhouse novels. And another one... looking at some other movies that the True Blood cast have been in.
And you can expect one day to hear part 3 of our series of vampire movie podcasts.
Yeah, so again, send us your suggestions on Facebook, Twitter, via email or on our website.
Okay, so should we crack on and do the episode recap?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the morning after Operation Kill the Witch, Jesus is cheerily having breakfast with Lafayette when he realises that he's actually... possessed by Marnie.
Dun, dun, dun.
Who then stabs him in the hand with an eggy fork.
We had a bad feeling about that fork, didn't we?
We knew something was going to happen with that fork.
Yeah, that was an ominous fork. And that was another facet to a great performance by Nelson Ellis as he took on Marnie's persona as well.
some great acting skills there. I was believing it.
Yeah.
I was believing that Marnie was trapped inside him.
So Marnie ties Jesus to a chair and tells him she wants his demon inside her.
She threatens to cut out Lafayette's eyeball if he doesn't comply. So we know she means business.
Marnie explains that it's Samhain, which they pronounce Samhain in the show, which annoyed me because they should have researched. They should have researched, shouldn't they? It's pronounced Samhain. Come on.
Absolutely. Come on, get it right. Get it right.
We know that because we like the band.
Yeah, that's kind of
that's
how we...
That's a band that we like. That's how we knew how to pronounce it.
But Jesus, he goes along with things and chants in Spanish to unleash the demon.
And Lafayette, Marnie, blue demon dude, stabs him in the chest.
So Marnie's powers alone still aren't enough then. She needs the demon magic as well?
Yeah, we were talking about that last week, weren't we? We were saying how she... Because she didn't have Antonia's powers, that kind of... stopped her, but now she's got Jesus's powers instead.
So, but she's powerful enough to get the demon from Jesus to go into her, I suppose.
I don't know, but it was Jesus that did it though, wasn't it?
Mm.
I tried to get a Spanish translation and failed, I'm afraid. It was Jesus's spell. But never mind. Anyway, also having breakfast, Sookie and Tara, and Sookie sees a vision of Gran's stabbed up body on the kitchen floor.
Sookie says she can feel Gran's presence, and they wonder if they are both magnets of fucking craziness or something else.
It does seem that way, doesn't it? Poor Tara and Sookie, all this craziness that they attract.
They hope that one day they can grow old together.
Which is pretty ominous, isn't it? once Sookie said that, it's like, yeah, there's some foreboding there, something's going to go wrong.
So tell me, Nat, does Sookie own her house again, now that Eric is safe?
I'd like to think that Eric would give her house back. Yeah, he should give her house back. He should look after him. He knows that. He remembers. Give Sookie her house back, Eric. Sam and Maxine, sadly, are the only ones at little scoundrel Tommy's funeral. Didn't have many friends, young Tommy.
Maxine offers to let Sam call her Mama.
You saw that coming, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, you knew it.
And also, she offers some of her pork rind casserole.
Seriously, do people really eat these things in the South?
Pork rind casserole.
That sounds really vile.
That doesn't sound good.
So I wonder, what's Maxine's theory on Tommy stealing all her clothes and panties? Does she, is she just assuming he's a transvestite or something?
Yeah.
Obviously, I mean, Sam doesn't go into the whole skinwalking deal with Maxine.
I mean, personally, I can understand, I could see what Tommy was doing. I can understand him stealing the clothes for the reasons he had. But stealing her panties?
Yeah, not necessary. I thought it was cool that even though it was a funeral, Sam was just in his normal clothes. He was just wearing jeans and cowboy boots and a kind of western shirt. But he had a jacket and tie thrown over the top.
Good image.
Good image, Sam.
Okay, meanwhile, Jason, he goes to see Hoyt at work and Hoyt is holding a hefty chainsaw.
Could you please put that down?
And then Jason bluntly tells him that he had sex with Jessica in missionary, doggy and cowgirl style.
Are we going to see the uncut scenes of that?
I wouldn't mind.
Blu-ray bonus features.
Yes, please.
Hoyt reacts as you'd expect and beats the shit out of Jason. But Jason takes it like a man because he knows he broke the bro code.
Yeah. Hoyt tells Jason that something inside him is missing. So what does this mean for Hoyt's character, since he's essentially he's cut off from his mum, his best mate and his girlfriend?
Yeah, I fear for young Hoyt. I fear that he's going to be want to go next season, perhaps.
Oh.
Because he's not. He won't be in the thick of things anymore, will he?
Or maybe he will.
Or maybe so. Maybe they'll come up with something else for Hoyt's character. Okay, Sookie goes to Malotte's to find the Halloween party in full swing with Arlene and Terry dressed as zombies because apparently they're cooler than vampires right now.
Oh, I don't know about that. But Walking Dead is quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's cool, but you can't shag a zombie. You can shag a vampire, you can't shag a... Well, maybe you can shag a zombie. Season 2 of Walking Dead, maybe we'll find out.
Sookie tells Sam that he fired her, not realising it was actually Tommy. And Sam can't be bothered to explain the whole skinwalking deal to Sookie. I mean, why not? She'd get it, wouldn't she?
Yeah, he should explain. She'd understand.
Maybe it's breaking some sort of shifter code to... Or maybe he didn't want to put a slur on Tommy's memory as he's kind of passed away.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
Yeah. And also what Tommy actually said to Sookie was kind of right, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Sookie finally gets her job back, which is about bloody time, because she's hardly been in Malotte's this season. I miss seeing Sookie in her little waitress outfit.
Also, it's nice to see Arlene's kids in costume at the Malotte's costume party.
Did you think that Lisa was dressed as Arlene?
Yes.
I think everyone thought that.
So is Teen Mum 2, is that really a movie?
That sounds horrible. Teen Mum 2.
Yeah.
It probably is.
But no, like you, I did think that she was a mini Arlene.
So an old army buddy of Terry's turns up, and he's called Patrick.
Hmm.
And he's played by a guy called Scott Foley, who you may recognise from Grey's Anatomy and The Unit, two programmes we've never ever seen.
Yes. It turns out Terry saved his life twice. So
a lot of fans have been speculating, because there's a werewolf character in book 5 who's also called Patrick.
Ah.
So do you think this guy could be a werewolf, maybe? But then Alcide was in the bar at the same time, wasn't he? And surely he'd have kind of gone and sniffed him out.
Maybe he's a werewolf, but that'd have been a bit obvious, wouldn't it?
If Alcide had said, hey, that dude's a werewolf, it wouldn't have been a surprise when we did realise.
We had a comment on Facebook about this from Kate, and Kate said, do you reckon Terry's old mate is actually dead like Terry said he heard? Lots of dead turned up in that last episode, and although we know he's going to feature a lot next season, we don't yet know in what guise, do we?
That's an interesting theory, yeah.
Thanks, Kate. That's quite a far-out theory, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe he's a zombie.
So she,
maybe the fact that Terry and Arlene are dressed as zombies is kind of foreshadowing that.
I like it. Is there zombies in the books?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't remember. And there's too many books. I can't remember everything that happens in them. So Alcide is talking with Bunny Sookie and Malotte's.
Do you think they missed an opportunity to have Sookie in this episode wearing a bunny girl outfit?
I thought when Sam pulled out the ears, I thought Sookie was going to be dressed in a bunny girl outfit, which would have looked really funny.
Me too.
If she'd been wearing that throughout the whole Saving the Vampires incident. But oh well.
Alcide, meanwhile, he seems pretty keen to move on from Debbie. And right away he gets some Sookie action.
She seems kind of curious about getting with a hot-blooded man for a change, with none of the usual vampire drama. So they kind of leave things open, don't they?
Yeah.
In the books, Alcide never kind of gets with Sookie properly. But she does meet a were-tiger guy called Quinn.
Were-tiger. I like it.
In book 5, and she eventually gets with him. So it's possible that Alcide's character and Quinn's character have been amalgamated for the show, because it would be just really silly at this point to have a fourth guy kind of falling over Sookie, wouldn't it?
That'd just be too much.
If you had Bill, Eric, Alcide, and Quinn, and Sam as well.
I mean, Sookie's great and hot, but come on.
must be the fairy blood.
Okay, Alcide gets a call saying that there's a problem at one of the construction sites, And as we could have predicted, he has a shit ringtone.
Terrible ringtone, Alcide.
Yeah, not good.
I thought he'd have some Steppenwolf at least.
I was just going to say Steppenwolf.
He should have Steppenwolf as his ringtone. That would be awesome. Should. So Suki goes outside and meets Holly, who scares her shitless because she's dressed as a fairy.
Yeah, it's good to see everyone in Halloween costumes, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really cool.
So tell me now, what are we going to wear for Halloween this year?
I don't know, I did Suki last year. you were ill last year and didn't...
I was an ill, not very good pirate.
You had a Jason from Friday the 3rd, Halloween.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Jason
Halloween.
From Halloween costume, didn't you? Yeah, but you didn't get to wear it. I think you should do the Alice Cooper.
Oh, sorry, Jason from Friday the 13th.
Jason, yeah. No, it's Freddy Krueger in Friday the 13th.
No, that's not on Elm Street.
No, sorry. it's all about the Alice Cooper this year, I think.
I'm going to be Alice Cooper.
If you be Alice Cooper, I'll be Alice Cooper's scary nurse sidekick.
Yes.
Okay, I'll be a sexy nurse.
I believe her name is Nurse Rosetta.
Nurse Rosetta, okay, yes. Cool.
Okay, so Holly lights up a massive spliff.
Yes.
Go Holly.
Go Holly.
And we instantly like her 1,000 times more.
We liked her anyway, but joint smoking Holly's even cooler.
She offers it to Suki, but turns out Suki's had a toke in the past, and it affects her hearing people's speaking and voices, and she can't turn them off. So
yeah, okay, so no joint for Suki. But we learn that also that Holly remembers the events that took place on the previous night. Which means that she was one of the few insiders who didn't get glamoured by the vampires.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Yes, that's cool. Holly's in the team.
So, meanwhile, Tara turns up to tell them that Marnie's possessed Lafayette and Jesus is dead.
The trio find that Eric and Bill have already been captured, but luckily Holly has a special Wiccan first aid kit to save the day.
Yes, Holly. Meanwhile, Eric and Bill are shirtless and chained to a stake.
Gratuitous chest action, I like it.
do you think it's a shame that we didn't get to see how they got there?
Yeah, a lot of fans have kind of moaned about that, saying it was just too quick the way it happened. We should have seen Marnie do her devil horns hand thing to get them there. That would have been cool.
Go to Marnie Dio.
And take off your shirts while you're at it.
So anyway, Holly, Suki and Tara show up in the nick of time. Suki uses her microwave hand to expel Marnie from the circle, and they cast a spell to save the vampires.
Does the fact that it's Halloween mean it's easier for them to cast the spell and defeat Marnie? Is there kind of Halloween magic in the air? Because before it was really difficult to expel Antonia from Marnie.
There must be Halloween magic in the air, because Holly said that there's the gap is thinner between life and death plane, in so many words.
Yeah, so maybe this wouldn't have worked if it wasn't on Halloween. Also, the fact that Suki was in the circle of witches and she's got her fairy powers, maybe that enhanced the magic as well.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Anyway, their spell causes the spirits of the dead to rise, and Antonia, rather surprisingly, spares the vampires by blowing out the flames.
Yes. Gran is on hand to extract Marnie from Lafayette like a tooth.
Yes, good to see Gran. We've missed Gran.
Was you disappointed that we didn't see any other dead Bon Temps citizens?
Yeah, where were Tommy and Eggs? And
Eggs? Oh.
Oh no, maybe it's best we didn't see Eggs. So Antonia explains to Marnie that death is a release from the suffering of life, and that the vampires are cursed with never being at peace.
Marnie goes off with Antonia and doesn't even apologise.
Yeah, she could have said sorry to Lafayette for stealing his body and killing his boyfriend.
Sorry I stabbed your man, but yeah.
And Gran gives Suki a little Obi-Wan Kenobi-style pep talk about how it's better to be alone than dead. Sound advice from Gran.
Okay, meanwhile, back at Malotte's, Arlene's taken out the trash when she's accosted by a ghost serial killer, Rene.
Rene, he's so cool as a ghost.
Was it weird that he still had his fake Cajun accent, you think?
Yeah, that's something a lot of people have been saying. Why, if he was faking that accent all along as a ghost, why didn't he just talk in his normal accent? Although I suppose maybe if all the time he was with Arlene, in all that time he only spoke to her in that accent, it made sense if she knew him in that way.
Yes,
if that was how she remembered him. Maybe ghosts come back as you remember them, I don't know.
So he warns Arlene that Terry's friend is dangerous and that Terry's past is catching up with him.
So is Rene trying to sabotage the relationship between Terry and Arlene from beyond the grave? Or is he genuinely protecting Arlene, do you think? Does Terry really have a dark secret?
don't know. I mean, seems like a good guy.
It's true blood, though, so you never know. We only found out recently that Terry used to be a drug addict, so I suppose he could have some other skeletons in his closet.
I mean, what reasons has Renee got to help their relationship? Because he don't little Mikey being affected by anything, possibly?
I suppose so, there's that to consider. Also, does the fact that Holly and Sookie and Tara cast the spell to wake the dead, does that enable him to appear to Arlene like this?
Oh, right, yes.
Did that spell affect his ghost as well, perhaps?
Ah, but then has he kind of been sort of stalking her from the ghost world anyway?
Yeah, and Lafayette saw him last season, didn't he?
Yes.
Kind of stalking Arlene, but Arlene couldn't see him then, so maybe the fact that it's Halloween means she can see him as well.
Okay, meanwhile, Jessica surprises Jason with her little red riding hood in lingerie costume.
Nice. And we treat it to a whole lot of flesh as they do it on the sofa.
Yes.
That's more of Jessica than we've ever seen, isn't
it? That's a good amount of Jessica.
Yeah, nice. She doesn't normally get that naked.
She tells him she doesn't want to be his girlfriend, and he becomes reluctant. But then she convinces him that it's an awesome idea for him to have casual sex with a hot red-headed vampire.
Why did he need convincing? Why was he reluctant? Surely this is right up Jason Street. And then afterwards she's up for some fangy oral sex and kinky role-playing, but first she needs to nip out for a bite to eat.
Jason, as we've predicted in a previous podcast,
we did, yes,
is totally okay with the fact that she'll be glamouring and biting random people.
So as opposed to Hoyt, who was totally uncool with that.
I mean, thinking about it, she's a step up from Crystal.
Yes.
So,
you'd put up with the biting.
And tell me, what happened with all the panther stuff?
Yeah, it just disappeared, didn't it?
Is that next season, are we thinking?
There's more panther stuff in book 5, so maybe in season 5 there'll be more panther stuff, yeah.
Lots of little panther babies, possibly.
Lots of little Jason panther babies. And what's happened with Jessica's virginity growing back? They've not mentioned that, so surely she's had the conversation with Jason, oh, by the way, every time we have sex, I'm going to be a virgin again.
Whoa.
You'd think they'd mention that.
So anyway, Jessica, she skips off and Jason gets a knock at the door. And surprise, surprise, it's...
Steve Newlin! And he's a vampire! So why do we think why has Steve Newlin the vampire gone to see Jason? Is he seeking revenge for him fucking his wife?
Is he recruiting him for...
Yeah. Is Steve Newlin pro-vampire now that he's a vampire? Or is he still anti-vampire?
But maybe he's gone vampire to get on the inside.
Maybe. Do you think it's a deliberate thing then, him becoming a vampire?
Could be, couldn't it?
We shall find out. Anyway, at Fantasia, Pam is crying over losing Eric to someone like Sookie. And Ginger gives her a nice hug, which
is a touching moment.
Yeah,
that
was nice. And also, I was really happy because Ginger died in book 4.
Ugh.
She was kind of a red shirt in the books.
Ugh.
So I was kind of worried because I thought she was going to die this season too. So I was happy that she survived the season.
Oh no, don't take out Ginger.
No, we need Ginger's screams.
So did Pam's face look normal? Has the spell been broken now? Or is she still doing the injections? I think the spell's...
It must be broken. They can't just carry on with that. It would just be tedious. And I couldn't see any veins or anything weird going on with her face.
No.
She looked back to normal. Back at Sookie's house, Lafayette is devastated after killing Jesus while under Marnie's control.
So tell me, what happened to Jesus' body then? Did the vampire special body disposal team take care of things?
They had to come up with some way of getting rid of the body, didn't they?
There's no way that Lafayette could go to the police, is there?
I was possessed. It wasn't me, it was Marnie's ghost. But later on, Jesus' ghost appears to him and tells him not to worry, he's going to be in touch, Patrick Swayze style.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Tell me that, why don't ghosts just walk through the door? Is it, you know, why has he got to walk into the corner of the room when he vanishes? Just walk through the door, it makes it more normal for everybody involved.
It's like a ghost image that they have to maintain. Let's do creepy shit now that I'm a ghost.
Okay, so meanwhile, Sookie is getting double teamed by Bill and Eric.
But only in the blood donor sense. No actual double teaming.
And why are they wearing matching dressing gowns?
I've no idea. Why were they wearing dressing gowns? That was horrible.
There was something a bit weird and odd about that scene for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of, but the majority of things that I've read online have said people found this whole threesome thing weird. So anyway, Bill thinks at this point that Sookie's going to choose to be with Eric. And gives them his blessing. And Eric's really gleeful at the thought of this. But Sookie wisely takes her gran's advice and dumps both of them.
Good. It was getting too weird.
It was getting too weird.
Sookie points out how all three of them have lied and hurt each other. She also clarifies that she has always had feelings for Eric, not just emo Eric she loved.
Oh, good.
And also she forgives Bill for his betrayals, and she loves him too.
Oh, well, this was good because there's so many futile arguments about all these issues among fans, so it clarified how things stand with Sookie.
It kind of clarified that they've all ripped each other off in one
way
or another.
Yeah, there's no good or bad in True Blood, it's all just shades of grey.
Do you not think they could have just worked out a timeshare deal for Sookie?
Yeah, you have Sookie this week, I have Sookie next week.
I think Eric Bill would have been up for that.
I think Eric will, I don't think Bill would be up for sharing. So back at Malotte's, Andy makes amends to Holly for the disastrous date that they had. He gets her a new bunch of flowers and doesn't steal them this time.
He explains that he was a drug addict and would like to move on. And things look positive for them as she gives him a nice hug.
Ah, but she won't be too thrilled when she hears about his pregnant fairy lover.
Oh, yeah.
Assuming that she's pregnant.
Meanwhile, it looks like Sam and Luna are also getting a happy ending this season. That is, though, until a mysterious werewolf appears from the shadows behind Sam.
Oh, who's the werewolf? It can't be Debbie. It can't be Elsie. Debbie and Elsie, are they both white? They're both white wolves, aren't they?
Do you think Marcus might have had some brother cousins? Or some, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Sam could have the werewolf pack after him now, couldn't he?
Yeah, but then... But then Marcus, he wasn't a nice man, really, was he?
I know, but he was still the pack leader. There's sure to be some repercussions to killing him. And there was all those guys that Sam beat up as well. So anyway, Alcide arrives at his construction site where it emerges that the foreman has been glamoured and someone's dug a massive hole in the concrete and unleashed King Russell. Who could have done this?
Do you think Alcide's going to warn the other vampires? Or
will he keep it to himself and hope that Russell kills the other vampires? Oh no, but he loves Sookie, so he's going to want to warn Sookie, I would assume. Do you think Debbie dug up King Russell? Debbie's the only person that I could think of that would know where Russell was.
Yeah, Nan Flanagan didn't know, did she?
No, I don't think so. Unless Russell had another vampire progeny other than Talbot and summoned another vampire.
Yes. Meanwhile, Eric and Bill's quiet night in is interrupted by Nan Flanagan and a squad of stormtroopers. Nan's been fired by the AVL and the authority.
What do you think she's been fired for?
For the
hotel where the she didn't cancel the thing at the hotel, so it all kicked off. So maybe that's what they fired her for. Anyway, her last orders were to execute Bill and Eric, but instead she tries to recruit them to her cause, whatever that might be, mentioning that she and others do not agree with the current agenda of the authority.
So what is the current agenda?
So I'm assuming that living alongside humans is the current agenda.
So are we thinking that Nan and the opposition want to dominate the humans?
Yeah, maybe they want to take over. Maybe they want vampires to rule the world.
Yeah.
And Nan's kind of leading the revolt. Perhaps. She also reveals that she knows that Sookie is part fairy and threatens her life if Bill and Eric do not join the mutiny.
But then Eric swiftly decapitates all the guards and Bill stakes Nan.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
Does this mean that the authority will be after them or... will they forgive them because they took out Nan and Nan's no longer part of the authority?
Yeah, maybe if they explain to the authority, oh, Nan came to try and recruit us to work against you, but we killed her for you, maybe they'll be a bit more sympathetic.
And also, is Bill still king?
I don't know, because Nan made Bill king. So does the fact that she's now gone is and he's got a death warrant on his head, is he not king anymore? Perhaps? It was funny that Bill and Eric's scenes were all together in this episode.
Yeah.
Are they about to embark on an epic bromance?
A bromance?
Bill and Eric liking each other, being best buddies.
I like it. I like Team Bill and Eric.
Team Bill and Eric. Team Beric.
Okay, meanwhile, Sookie is surprised in her kitchen by Debbie, toting a shotgun.
Tara saves Sookie in the nick of time from getting shot, but gets half her head blown off for her troubles.
Sookie wrestles the gun from Debbie. She straddles Debbie and shoots her in the face.
As she does in the book.
Is this really the end for Tara, do you think?
I think the kind of current consensus is that she's going to be back as a vampire, I reckon. So I reckon she'll be back as a vampire.
So if she's back as a vampire, then somebody's going to turn her.
Well,
who?
Well, obviously Suki's shouting out, help me, so Bill and Eric are going to rush to her assistance. So it's either going to be Bill or Eric, and I reckon if they say to her, right, which one of us should we turn? Should turn her, then I reckon Suki would pick Bill, because I think Tara hates Eric more than she hates Bill.
She's kind of had a connection with Bill in the past, and she in previous
He saved her recently.
In the graveyard
So I think that was maybe foreshadowing him turning her. In the books, Tara's not involved in this scene, and she doesn't die. And also, Eric is involved in this scene. He still has amnesia at this point, and he helps Suki to dispose of Debbie's body.
Oh.
So it's kind of different. But it's still in Suki's kitchen.
So that, I believe, is...
That is it. That is the finale.
So was that better than other... Was that better than the last few finales?
I think so. I think the finales are normally disappointing. I didn't feel so disappointed after this finale.
Yeah, this was a good sort of... There's some cliffhanging there, isn't there?
Yeah. What was it we didn't like about the last finale? Oh, the thing with Russell kind of... I mean, the thing with Russell didn't make sense at the time, but in retrospect, I think it was good that they kind of kept him around so they could bring him back.
Sort of part of the long game.
Yeah. My main criticism about this finale was that there wasn't enough Bill, Eric and Pam.
Ah.
There was a lot of it. I mean, most of the episode, half the episode took place during the day and there was not enough vampire action for my liking.
But in all, very good.
In all, a good season.
Very good season. Okay, I believe it's time for some... I believe it's time for Nat's keyboard jingle.
Hold on, wait a second.
Okay, folks, sit down, folks.
Right.
Get ready for this.
Bugger me, how's this going to work? Hold on, wait
this
a sec.
This is called dead air.
I've got some vintage keyboard here. I'm trying to work out how it works. Okay, wait. Right, let's go for it. There you go.
Yeah.
That was my keyboard solo. Took me all week.
I hope you. I hope you don't feel too down about it. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Anyway, in this episode, we had a band called Those Darlings, who are a southern country garage band, and their song Driving Nails Through My Coffin, when Suki speaks to Zombie Arlene.
Next up, Ronnie Dawson, a late Texan rockabilly singer. And a song called Rockin' Bones, which is the Kids in the Lots.
Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. Fucking great band name.
Great name.
And they're a 60s novelty act, and their song The Monster Mash. It's quite a famous song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yeah, when Alcide and Suki are talking in the lots.
Next up, The Great Crusades. Another great name. Chicago rock band, and their song On a Fast Moving Train. And that is Fairy Holly showing up.
And also their song Bucket of Blood, when Arlene takes the trash out.
Next up, Jim Oblong, New York blues singer, and he done the cover of the Lead Belly song, Where Did You Sleep Last Night? And that was Jessica in the Woods.
I love that song so much.
Yeah, that's a good cover.
I love the Nirvana cover as well. And then the Ravionettes, who are a Danish indie duo, and their song Ali Walk With Me, when Jason and Jessica are getting it on.
Next up, Jason Novak, an industrial rock artist, song Dogs of Hell, and that is Pan in Fantasia.
And last up, a band called The Heavy, who are a British indie funk band, and their song And When I Die, over the end credits.
That was the music. Now it's time for What the Fuck of the Week. Steve Newlin returned as a vampire.
Steve Newlin, a vampire.
Now, I wasn't expecting
was
that.
Was not expecting that. And how long do you think he's been missing? Because we've been hearing all this season that he's missing. It could be, I mean, it could be up to a year, couldn't it, that he's been a vampire?
But the question is, who turned him?
Who turned him? I think...
Have you got any ideas?
I don't know. People have been saying maybe Russell.
Russell?
Maybe Russell turned him... Before he was interred?
Oh, not since he's been...
Well, he's only just escaped, hasn't he, Russell? So it must have been... Russell could have turned him around the time of the end of season 3. Then there was a lot going on then.
Hey, do you think Steve Newlin would want to be a vampire? I don't...
Like you said, to get an insider's point of view, to be able to fight them better, I don't know.
To get on the inside. It's going undercover, maybe. Maybe that's why he's gone to... Why has he gone to Jason?
To recruit Jason.
Yeah.
In a fight against vampires using vampires.
I like it.
Okay, now it's time for our line of the week.
And our line of the week is...
I'm so over Sookie and her precious fairy vagina!
Pam again!
Yeah,
yes.
Pam. She's winning with the lines of the week.
I like the way that she's saying about that Eric could go with someone with such a stupid name.
He's been with princesses and supermodels.
He's picked their teeth with their bones.
Spat their bones out, something like that.
Yeah.
I think people are upset because in the books, Pam and Sookie kind of become friends. But I like Pam being angry at Sookie.
Is Pam like this in the books as well?
Her personality is the same, but she's friends with Sookie in the books.
Oh.
But I think it makes sense that she hates Sookie and is jealous of her at this
point. Yeah.
And she's like the voice of reason in this.
She's like the voice of all of us.
What's so special about her fairy vagina?
The stupid name that Sookie. Yeah, thank you, Pam. I think Pam had the most line of the weeks
in
this season.
Probably more than 50% of the line of the weeks were Pam this season.
So well done, Pam. Keep it up next season.
Okay, we're not doing any news this week because there's a kind of a lull because the season's just finished and also we've got lots of season 5 spoilers and speculations to get through, so it's straight on to the spoilers, so tune out now if you don't want to hear any spoilers. Spoilers! Okay, so here's what we know about season 5 so far. Things are going to pick up right where season 4 left off with Sookie and Tara in the kitchen.
Although season 5 is going to be loosely based on book 5, Dead as a Doornail, Alan Ball has said that it will also contain elements from book 6 onwards.
Well, that's good because I think book 5 is too kind of weak to just have a season based purely on that. So it's good that they're amalgamating the books from this point onwards.
I know nothing about book 5 and I know...
I'll tell you, these are some book 5 storylines that could possibly be included. Okay, so Jason actually turns into a werepanther for the first time.
Yes!
So like in the show, all the kidnapping stuff happens in book 4, but then he actually turns for the first time in book 5.
Yes.
Also, Fantasia hires a pirate bartender.
Hmm?
Do you think we're going to see a pirate vampire?
Yeah, a pirate?
I really liked him in the books, but I don't know if it would work in the show.
In what way a pirate...
Oh, properly piratey, like he talks like a pirate, he dresses like a pirate, full-on pirate action.
What, like the pirates in South Park?
No, like the... Like proper Disney pirates,
Like Pirate Steve from Dodgeball.
Yes, like Pirate Steve from Dodgeball. Yes. Now we're talking. Also, there's a mysterious sniper that's taken out shapeshifters. I don't think that's going to be in the show. And there's a werewolf pack leader competition, which is really awesome, and I hope they include.
Ah.
Yeah, that's good. They've got to do all these different tasks to decide who's going to be the new pack leader.
So, do you think...
That makes sense in light of the guy... getting killed.
So are you thinking that Alcide will be involved in that? Is he possibly up for
it's his dad in pack? It's his dad in the books that is up for the pack leader, but I think Alcide later becomes contender, but I think they'll just make it it's Alcide. That would make it more interesting.
Do we think that possibly Patrick, he's come into the fold? You said that possibly he could be a werewolf based on the books.
Well, yeah.
Could he have turned up now because he knows that the pack leader's gone and there's a new vacancy?
Yeah, well, he's the guy called Patrick in the books is the other contender. Mm. Also, the were-tiger that we mentioned, Quinn, is introduced in that book.
Were-tiger?
Were-tiger.
Like,
but then they say like he's even bigger and musclier than Alcide, and I can't think... Unless they get the guy from Game of Thrones that plays Khal Drogo.
Yes!
I can't see who else is going to kind of fit the bill, but I don't think they'll bring Quinn into it.
Okay, some more. Rutina Wesley has confirmed that Tara will return.
Wow.
But in what capacity, it is uncertain.
So, Vampire Tara, are we thinking?
Vampire Tara.
Or Ghost Tara.
Yeah, Lafayette talks to the dead.
Yeah.
But then you'd have two kind of... Jesus is still going to be in
because
it.
Because Nelson Ellis has said that we will see Jesus again in season 5.
Ah.
So we're going to see Ghost Jesus.
Okay, Alan Ball Kristen Bauer and Alexander Skarsgård have all stated that we'll see a flashback to when Eric turned Pam into a vampire.
Good, it's about time.
I'm looking forward to that. That's something that I've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah, the vampire origin stories are always interesting. Writer-producer Rael Tucker has given a few hints as to what to expect next season. First off, there will be a very significant, strong, mysterious woman at the centre of one of our main stories next year that will be a very familiar and compelling character. It may be someone you've heard of before.
Mm.
And also, if you remember, there was a casting call for a new female vampire character, so I'm assuming that's who they're talking about.
Off the top of your head, can you think of any female vampire characters that we've heard of before?
Not in the show, maybe, unless it's referring to someone from the books that we're going to see coming up.
Okay, season 5 will explore more fairies, new fairies. Fairies in a way you haven't really seen fairies. We will all, as well as Suki, come to understand fairies more than in previous seasons.
Oh, not more fairies.
Oh no, that's what we thought. Well, that's what I thought. Season 4 was going to be a lot of fairies.
And then
when the fairy thing kind of ended in the first episode.
But then there's a lot more. Yeah, there's some cool fairy stuff in the later books, though, that I suppose they will come into play. So
do you understand the fairies in a way you haven't really seen fairies? Does that make any sense to you?
No, not really.
As a book person?
Unless it means the fairies living among the humans, but then they're not like that in the show, so I don't know.
Hmm.
And talking about Patrick again, it says his arc has to do with Terry's past coming back to haunt Bontemp and Arlene and the life they're trying to set up together.
The wolf seen growling at Sam in the final moments is someone you have never met before.
Okay, that's interesting.
Okay, so not Patrick.
That's our theory out the window. And also, as we know now, Russell is not dead. It's safe to assume the King of Mississippi is not gone for good. So we get lots of Russell next season.
I will say that Steve Newlin's reason for returning to Jason is not at all what you expect.
So what would you expect? You expect that he's there to kill him and he's not? Do you think?
I think that's what you're meant to.
You're meant to think he's there to kill him. But there's more to it.
While there will always be romance in Sookie's life, Sookie at the moment is choosing herself over all of them.
Ah, that's interesting. So less Sookie menage a trois action in the next season. That's good. And lastly, the consequences of Bill and Eric's actions in the finale are going to chase them for a while yet next year.
Oh.
So the repercussions of killing Nan.
Ah.
Are gonna.
That's interesting.
Yeah, are gonna affect Bill and Eric. So, yeah, Team Bill and Eric.
Team Bill and Eric.
No Sookie in their lives. It's all about each other. That's nice.
I like it.
Okay, so we're going to be back next week for our 10 best things and 10 worst things about season 4.
Yeah, so
So join us then.
Have a nice week and watch the season again. But
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you've got any ideas for us to do for our Vampire
movies podcast, yeah, or vampire comics or vampire books or anything vampire related, drop us an email.
Yes.
And good night.
But for now, take care and good night.